This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. A huge week in New York sports. You got opening day. Looking forward to both the Mets and Yankees getting their season start a little bit later on in the week. We'll continue with the Giants calls, 888-808-1019, which I'm sure will be a theme right up until the draft and through the draft and all that stuff. We'll see what free agency brings you, but we'll continue with the Jameis Winston Giants quarterback situation. BT, a disappointing end to the season for the Johnnies.
No, it was. They didn't play well at all. St. John's, you know, really rough time to play, basically your worst game of the year. And listen, this is the deal with the NCAA tournament. There's no, you know, well, it's a 7-game series or it's a best of 5 where you have a rough night, you can kind of, you know, come back and try to make amends. St. John's just shot the ball as awful as I've seen them shoot. And I've seen some rough nights, particularly earlier in the year. They were bad. They just didn't play well at all. You know, Arkansas, I knew they'd be physical. I knew they'd be longer, certainly a different, you know, different physical presence. But St. John's made no shots. They made no shots.
Yeah, Arkansas didn't play a great game either, and that's kind of the point. But this can't be a surprise. I mean, St. John's, unfortunately. So now if you step back and look at a big picture, they were the only 2 seed to lose, right? You get the majority of favorites winning, so they were the only one to really get upset. I know a 3 seed in Wisconsin loss or whatever. That's happened a couple of times. But the fact that they were the only 2 seed to be home early outside of the Sweet 16, for me, there is no difference between the first round, the first win on Thursday night, or yesterday. They needed to really get to the next round. As I said on Friday, that to really just shut everybody up from any kind of criticism, the very least they could do is get to the Sweet 16. Now, for me, it does not take away from all they accomplished in the regular season. But I did not have these great expectations like I think a lot of fans did. You think this takes away from St. John's season? Because, I mean, even was it Lewis who said it after the game? Even he said it feels like they accomplished nothing. Where are you at as far as the big picture for St. John's?
Well, I mean, listen, it's been 25 years since they won an NCAA tournament game. So I get it. The expectations were certainly to get out of Providence and get into the Sweet 16, and right now probably be on a trip on a plane to San Francisco. So when you look at that and you look at the regular season championship, the conference tournament championship, the number 2 seed, all those things shout, you've got to get to the second weekend. They didn't, but I still deem it a success. I mean, St. John's had to change a culture that was you know, just unspeakably bad and non-existent for a long time. And think about, like, I know that, you know, a loss is a loss, but St. John's, they at one point, and the final score got away from them, you know, you foul, you make a couple foul shots, whatever. St. John's was down by 4 with 4 minutes to go. One starting forward shot, 1 for 10, Aaron Scott. I just want to illuminate how hard they play. R.J. Lewis, by far, his worst game of the year, 3 for 17, and I want to get back to that, why he was benched. And Kadori Richmond, who, I mean, Some of those fouls were awful. I'm not going to make an excuse. Nobody wants to hear it. But he played 16 minutes and he fouled out. 16 out of 40. And he's been one of the best players in the country all season. So when you add all that up, I mean, St. John's should have been blown out. Like, if you told me that that's the three things I just mentioned, Scott 1 for 10, Lewis 3 for 17, Kadari 5 points, playing 16 minutes, I'm saying St. John's getting waxed by 15 or 20. And then you mix in the fact that they shot 2 for 22, I'm saying maybe they lost by 30. But they didn't, because they can, they work. They had 28 offensive rebounds. They had more than Arkansas. They only had 6 turnovers, but they just, which is fewer than Arkansas. They just didn't make any shots. And the whole, the thing with Rick and Calipari, Calipari now has an advantage over Rick that is undeniable. Calipari, people could think this. If they do, I don't know what to tell them. That's have the opinion. That's fine. Calipari did not outcoach Rick Pitino. He didn't do it.
I mean, but his team won.
I know. No, I agree. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, his team didn't play great either, but it leads me to think that maybe St. John's, and for all the people who said Sweet 16, it's got to be Sweet 16, I hope they have that same energy when I was getting crap last week saying that no matter what, this season to me would already be a success for all the reasons that you mentioned. They won the Big East the way that they did. Putting themselves back on the map to me was more important as far as how, more important than how far they went in the tournament this year. Next year might be different, and I know the expectations changed in season with the St. John's team, but maybe they shouldn't have been a 2 seed. And look at what UConn did, even in the loss to, many people think, the best team in the country in Florida. I mean, it was a good chance UConn would have won that game, and they would have been moving on. And then what? Then would you rather have UConn season or St. John's season? So from where St. John's was coming from, I still think that even with the loss falling short going to the Sweet 16, I still think it was a very successful season no matter what. But when you're a 2 seed and you want to be talked about with the big boys, and then the only 2 seed in the tournament to lose this year, and you have UConn fighting with Florida, going to Arkansas and Calipari, not Florida, then I could see how people could maybe minimize what St. John's did this year, say maybe they were a little overrated or shouldn't have got that 2 seed.
I think you could kind of have both views there. I think certainly, just looking at St. John's fans leaving the arena on Saturday and then going back to the hotel, and seeing the understandably, the long faces, the sad face. I get it. You crushed. I mean, the players were crushed. The coaching, it looked like Rick had tears in his eyes at the press conference.
What happened with the benching, BT?
So, I believe it. I am with Rick on this. Now, RJ Lewis was benched, and he didn't play the final, 5 minutes or so. And I do not believe, I did not ask Rick about this. The last thing I'm going to do is bother him now. I'll circle back to it at some point. Not now. Give him space. He was not benched because he didn't shoot well. And I think that's where a lot of people get it twisted. And by the way, he shot, just 3 for 17 is just, it's atrocious. But it happens. It's sports. They're not robots. The reason why RJ Lewis was stuck on the bench, and I got to tell you, Sal, I believe rightfully so, is because he became selfish. He did not play defense, and he put himself in front of the team. Mm. And when you do that for anybody, you're probably going to pay the price. When you do it for somebody like Rick, who certain virtues and principles are non-negotiable, you're going to find you behind on the bench. And I feel terribly for the kid because he was amazing this year. But, I mean, his shot selection was deplorably bad. It was bad. And then really watching him and sitting courtside, I could really see it because I could see the body language of some of his teammates, like putting their arms up, like, what are you doing? I saw this twice from Zuby, who played fantastic. There, I don't want to say that he was just breaking off plays and ignoring things. I'm not going to go that far. But he certainly took it upon himself to try to play some hero ball. And Rick said, not happening. I got no problem with it.
Yeah, that's good insight. Because if it were just because of the shooting, then I think you could question it. Be like, hey, this is your guy all year long. Go down with him. Even then, you could say, you shouldn't be out there because he's cold. But at least then you have more of an argument against Rick. If it were because he was doing things that were not, if they were selfish, not the betterment of the team, and Pitino doesn't like that, then you got to bench him. So I have no problem with that. All right, let's get to some of the Midday Madness with you on the phones here on BT and Sal. Brought to you by Boost Mobile. David is in Manhattan. He wants to join the Madness. What's up, David?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. Love the show. And just want to comment or get your comments on kind of, I think it's an unsuccessful season. Losing in the first round, the first weekend like that, is totally, totally embarrassing as a team. The way we were going in, winning the Big East, I think it's a total unsuccessful season. I also want to get to the celebration and trying to keep the bars open after the first night, because BT, in all fairness, I know you cut me off last time. But
oh, no, David, we're not doing this again, and thank you for the call. I got rid of him there, BT. We're not going over the celebration, and David, you don't understand. You want to talk about the Johnnies, that's fine. His first point I thought was a good one, and I'd like to hear your response to that. We're not going down the path. David called last week.
Yeah, I remember.
And, yeah, he was talking about, in case you guys missed it, he was just talking about, BT was saying they were having a celebratory shot after the first win. Not the players.
No, BT was having it. Not the players.
I mean, geez.
Yeah, not the players. We got back to the hotel, and a bunch of fans did that. So, yeah. Listen,
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
If this is Duke, or even Michigan State, or Vintage Carolina, or UConn, I get it. It's a different level of evaluation, but I also think that multiple things could be true. You can be very disappointed in losing to Arkansas. You can even frame it as a season that was less than it was supposed to be based on all the checkpoints and the accomplishments, which everybody knows, which I just hit, including being a 2 seed and being 7.5 point favorites going into the Arkansas game. But once the emotion and like that emotional duress kind of peters out a bit, and eventually it does, you got to get back to the real world, man. I don't know how you can be a St. John's fan today and not be appreciative of the moment. St. John's is not UConn. St. John's is not Villanova with Jay Wright. They're just not. What they were was completely irrelevant until they decided to hire Rick Pitino. So I think if you view it through an all-encompassing prism. Honestly, maybe this sounds corny, maybe this doesn't work for everybody, and that's fine. I do respect that. But if it's through that all-encompassing prism, you could be dissatisfied and unhappy, but I think the emotion that should win out is one of gratitude and enjoyment. And now next year is the rubber match. All right, the first year with Rick, maybe they should have made the tournament. They didn't. Get over it. They just missed out. This year, they did what they did. They probably should have gone further. They didn't. Get over it. What happens next year? To me, that's the swing season.
Which is why, BT, I was so surprised where there was some pushback from what I was saying earlier in the week, last week. Like, no matter what, because you nailed it, I think the key part is where this St. John's team is coming from. And maybe that's because some St. John's fans value themselves in the category of UConn or some of the Blue Bloods. Like, that's just not reality. You can be as passionate about your team. They're not. They're coming from nowhere. They were a doormat. They were as irrelevant as you could possibly be. In the biggest city in the world, they weren't even relevant at all for the last 20-plus years. So to do what they did this year in the regular season, that to me, no matter what happened in the tournament, it was a success. Obviously, the tournament losses are going to hurt. And then let's just have a hypothetical, because I was thinking about this when UConn had the lead over Florida. Good God, like if UConn would have won that game, whose season would you rather have? Forget where each came from. We know UConn with the back-to-back championships and St. John's. Mm-hmm. But in the moment, do you think UConn fans would have enjoyed their season more had they beaten Florida and gotten to the Sweet 16? Or St. John's fans of all they accomplished, dominating UConn twice and in the Big East tournament, all that stuff that St. John's had in the regular season?
It's a great question, but it's hard to answer. And I will answer, but it's very hard to answer because the mindset of the UConn fan and the St. John's fan is radically different.
Yeah.
You know, now, maybe they begin to intersect more because, you know, UConn didn't win the championship for the third straight year. And I watched every second of that game. They played their asses off, man. They really played well. And Clayton, ironically, played for Rick Pitino at Iona. And he was trying to get him to St. John's, but he's a Florida kid. And he wound up getting, you know, good money to stay with the Gators, whatever. I would say, from a St. John's perspective, I think now being able to go to Carneseca Arena and look up at a 2024-2025 regular season Big East championship and a conference tournament championship banner, I think that's going to carry more weight than having neither of those and winning a game and getting. Now, you'd also have a Sweet 16 banner. I get that. Yep. You know, but there were multiple joyous moments. And again, the mindset's not directly the same. We know that. But St. John's fans felt amazing because confetti was falling not once but twice, and they beat UConn twice, including up there. I would say that it's more memorable to win the way St. John's did this year, but I get the question. It's a fair one.
Let's get to some more. Midday Madness here with you on the phones here on BT and Sal, brought to you by Boost Mobile. Dave is calling from Paterson, New Jersey. Dave wants to join the Madness. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave.
Guys, what's up, guys? I don't think St. John's should be ashamed. They lost to a team with Arkansas with a New York City guard, and they were kind of New York City tough almost. So I don't think that St. John's should be ashamed of that loss. The question is, can Rick use all that money to get the right guys next year from the portal? Because Seton Hall did not do well because of they didn't have the money. So what kind of portal kids is Rick going to get?
Well, he's got the money. I appreciate the call, Dale. I promise you, they've got the money. Mike Rapoli's got the money. Mike Rapoli's got the motivation. St. John's now has, instead of a stigma, see, now it's easier to point to something. I know they lost on Saturday, but more tangible results rather than younger players and maybe their dads and their grandfathers saying, hey, you know, young man, I playing for Coach Pitino would be an amazing thing, which it would be. But if it wasn't, if there was no concrete evidence that Rick still had his fastball, then I think it's more of a leap of faith. As long as the money's there and the money's only going to, I believe this only motivates Rapoli to spend more, which, by the way, is a problem with college. I mean, there's got to eventually be a salary cap. It's ridiculous. But that's also what saved St. John's, ironically. So you live by the rules and, you know, you died by the old rules. Now you're living by the new ones, which you'll take. I think that the thing that's going to be tricky, Sal, you can pay great players, you can't pay for chemistry. And one thing that St. John's had, they were a little deficient shooting the ball. We all know that. We all talked about it. They had great chemistry this year. You're going to get better shooters in terms of stats. Do you mesh the same way? I don't. You might, but if you don't, is that lack of mesh, does that offset better shooting? That's the question moving forward. I don't know the answer.
Yeah, similar to what we saw with the Knicks.